Today's daf is daf mem hey, page 45. We are on the bottom of mem dalet amud beis of 44b. So four lines from the very bottom. Gufa, we said before. Amar Ravin bar Shmuel mishmei de Shmuel. Ravin, the son of Shmuel, said in the name of Shmuel. This difficult concept to distinguish between selling land and the selling of a cow or a cloak. Hamocher sadele chaveiro shelo b'achrayus. If Reuven sells his field, let's say to Levi, without guaranteeing it, so that means if someone else is going to come and take the field away from Levi, maybe he's going to claim that Reuven wasn't the owner and prove that he was the original owner, or that Reuven owed him money, and after he had extended the loan, that's when Reuven sold the field, and it was a loan and a contract, so there's a lien on the field, so he's going to collect the field. When he collects the field, the buyer of the field, Levi, has no recourse, has no ability to go back to Reuven who sold it to him. So again, amocher sadeh l'chaveiro, someone who sells a field to his friend with an explicit statement, shelo b'achrayus, but there's no guarantee. If you lose the field because it turns out I wasn't able to sell the field, or because it turns out that I owed money, and that's why the field was taken, you're not able to collect from me any reimbursement, then ein meid lo aleha, he's no longer able to testify about that field. He's now biased about the field. What's his bias? B'pnei shema amida b'pnei ba'al chovo, because he's going to want the field to stay in the hands of the buyer, because the more the field stays in the hands of the buyer, if people he owes money to are going to show up, they're going to be able to collect from that field, and he'd rather that than them coming after him. So one second, hey chidami, what's the case? Id isle ara achrite. If he has other land besides this field that he sold off, he has land that he's holding on to. So a lady day hadar, then the lenders are going to come to him. The whole law that a lender can collect a loan from a field that a borrower sold is only true if the borrower has no cash anymore. If the borrower has no money, so now we go after the territories of the borrower that he had at the time of the loan, that he sold since then. But you can't go to the buyers and take away their land when the original borrower still has land. So if he has land, so what does he care whether or not the land he sold will stay in the hands of the buyer or not? He's not biased about that. The borrower, the lender is not going after the buyers. The borrower is going to come after him. So what does it matter to him whether that guy's land will stay or not? So again, Isle Arav, he, the seller, who is also the borrower, has land. Aleidi de Hadar, then the lenders are coming to him. They have to come to him. So then he is not biased to testify about the land that he sold. And if he doesn't have any land anymore, so now we say he has a bias to maintain the sale that he made, because through maintaining the sale, he's going to not have to have the hassle of the lender. The lender will go to the buyer. What do you mean he's not going to have the hassle? My nafkale mine, what difference is it to him? Even if the buyer doesn't have land, he doesn't have land, so he's not going to pay anything. He doesn't have what to pay. We don't have debtor's prisons in halacha. If a person borrows money and he doesn't have money to repay, we can't do anything to him. We don't go and put him in jail because he doesn't have money to pay. So what does he care? So why are you saying that a man who sells a field, if it's a no recourse sale, he's now biased and he can't testify for the benefit of his buyer? What's his bias? If he has land, he has no bias, because the people he borrowed from are going to come after him. They're not going to come after the buyer of the field that he sold. And if he doesn't have land, so he also is not biased, because what does he care? Even if he's believed and the buyer can stay on the field. So let's say the buyer will lose it to the lenders. Okay, that's not a cost to him. There's no recourse here. And if the buyer is not believed, if he's not believed about the buyer, and the buyer is not going to have a field, he also has no loss. He has no loss because he has no money. So why is he biased here? He's no loss. Answers the Gemara what we saw earlier. La'olam delesle ara achrite. The case of Shmuel is when the seller, who is the borrower, doesn't have other land. So you say, what? So then what? Why is he biased to keep land in the hands of the buyer? Tamar, because he's saying, lo nicha, I want the field in the hands of the buyer, so that my lender will get repaid. Yes, he's not getting repaid from me, but at least he's getting repaid. And I don't want him to not be repaid, because no one likes to be in a situation of borrowing and then the lender doesn't get repaid, because then the lehevi, then he becomes a person who's in the pas, in the rule of the verse, lo vera shavelo yishalem, the wicked borrows but he doesn't pay. He doesn't want a situation where there were loans and the loans don't get repaid, because that's a horrible thing, to take out loans and then not to repay them. So he would rather that they get paid. So that's why he has a bias about the sale. He wants the sale to be a good sale. So that way the field is in the hands of the buyer. So if the lender comes, the lender will have something to collect from, so that he is not in the category of a wicked person who borrows and doesn't repay. Yeah, question, David.
But doesn't he have to have a bias anyways? Because if he sold the land, then he must have gotten paid, right? So if he's gotten paid, of course he's biased.
He's not biased anymore because he doesn't have a he never guaranteed it. Right? He didn't guarantee. If anything's going to happen to what I sold to you, you can't come after me. So that's already done. Now
he have the proceeds to pay off his lender.
He spent it already. He spent it already. He spent that already. That he spent.
He paid up another loan.
That he spent. So the Gemara asks, but still, Sof, even if it's a loan without recourse. Legabe idach nami lo verasha velo yishalim hu. In term, what does he gain? Right, you're saying he would gain. We are saying he would gain in having the field that he sold stay in the hands of the buyer. Because if the field that he sold stays in the hands of the buyer, then the buyer is a then he's not going to be in a situation of being a borrower who didn't repay. He's not someone who incurred debts and just stiffed the lenders. Okay, one second. But he stiffed a buyer. So what's the gain? He stiffs the buyer. The buyer gave money for a field and ends up not having the field because the lender took it away from him. So that he's incurring debts over there. So the Gemara says, no, that doesn't bother anybody. So Amar, he can say, lahachizvina lach shelo b'achrayus. But I explicitly said, I'm selling you this field without guarantees, without a recourse. You can't come after me if you lose it. So there's a discounted price. It's marked as, what do they call it, you know, a big risk. It's a highly risky asset. Everybody knows there's the possibility of loss. So that doesn't put me in a bad situation where those things end up with a loss, because everybody knew there was going to be the possibility of loss about that.
You are a buyer?
I'm the seller.
You are the seller?
Yeah.
What is wrong? I'm the seller. You owe money to people, Rabbi?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so what the buyer's got to do with it?
Because whatever a person borrows, if he borrows in a contract, becomes a lien on all of his property.
Okay.
And the property that he later sells could be collected by the lenders.
Correct. But if the buyer is the one who's going to get screwed if he doesn't check his homework,
yeah,
right? So he's going to pay full price, and all of a sudden he finds...
And he loses the land.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to do your title searches, as we've said before. Okay. Next halacha. Machriz Rava v'itema Rav Papa. Rava, some say it was Rav Papa, announced. This is a halacha everybody needs to know. He said, the Salkalela, those who go up to the land of Israel, Udenachtin Lesata, those who are coming from the land of Israel down to Bavel, should all be aware. Hi, Bar Yisrael, if you have a Jew, Zabin Lechamri Yisrael Chavre, who sells a donkey to a fellow Jew, the Kasi Ovid Kochavim Va'anis Lemine, and some non-Jew comes and grabs this donkey away from the buyer, claiming it was always his, and the seller had no right to sell it. The law is that the seller is the one with the responsibility. He needs to get the donkey back from this non-Jew. He needs to retrieve the donkey back from the non-Jew.
Was the donkey stolen before he had handed over the
He's claiming not, right? He sold it. He claimed it wasn't stolen. He claimed it was his, that he was able to sell it. V'lo amaran. Now, we only say this, that the seller has to go and get it back. Elasheno makir bashi bas chamora, where the buyer didn't admit that the seller is clearly the owner of the donkey, because this donkey is the child of the other donkey that the seller has. But if the seller admitted that it's his donkey, so then what are you going to do? The non-Jew comes and grabs it. Well, we have no control. If the seller sold something and maybe the non-Jew is entitled to it, so now the seller has a responsibility to go, you know, negotiate with the non-Jew and get it back to the guy who paid him for it. But if the guy who paid him admitted to the seller, this is yours, I know it's yours, because it's the child of your donkey, so then the seller doesn't have the responsibility to go fight with the non-Jew. The non-Jew came and he stole. What are we going to do? So it's this is an act of God. They both have to fight with him. But you know, no added responsibility on the seller. If the seller doesn't have proof that it was his, the buyer says, I'm not sure it was yours. Maybe it really was the non-Jews. I don't know. I believed you when you said it was yours. Now the seller has to go fight with the non-Jew. But if the buyer said, I know it's yours. I saw its mother in your domain. I know it's yours. This non-Jew stole from us. So then he stole from me, stole from you. It's the buyer's responsibility as much as the seller. If the buyer recognizes that it's the offspring of the seller, lo, the seller doesn't have to now get involved to try to get it back. And a second distinction, v'lo amarnu, we also didn't say this law. We also only said this law where the seller is the one who's got to get it back if the guy didn't take the donkey and the saddle. He just took the donkey. If he just took the donkey, again, there's reason for us to think that, you know, why is he only taking the donkey? If he's a thief, he would take everything. He's only taking the donkey because he's not a thief. He's rightfully reclaiming what's really his. And maybe the seller had no right to sell what he was selling, because it's not his, it's the non-Jews. So we say to the seller, you need to now work it out with the non-Jew. But if the idolater took both the donkey and the saddle, so he's just a thief. So then, why is it the seller's fault? There are thieves out there. So then we don't make the seller fight with the non-Jew. We'll say the buyer has to fight with the non-Jew. Amemar said like this, Afilu leka kolhani, even if you don't have these points. Right? Even if the non-Jew took the donkey and left the saddle, lo, the seller doesn't have to fight with the non-Jew to get the donkey back for the man who bought it from him. My time, or why? Made the yad of the stam ovid kochavim anasu. The buyer knows that a non-Jew is just a robber. Shenamar, as the verse says about them, asher pm diber shav, their mouths speak vanity, v'yiminam yimin shakar, and their right hand is the right of falsehood. So you can assume that this non-Jew is just a thief, Not that he's rightfully entitled to the donkey, and since he's probably a thief, so it's not the responsibility of the seller. It's an unfortunate act of God, but unfortunately it's the buyer who's the victim, and he's the one who has to fight with the non-Jew to get the donkey that he bought rightfully back from the non-Jew who stole it from him. Yeah, question now.
All these things happening simultaneously, Rabbi? I mean, while he's selling it, all of a sudden the Gentile will show up and say, this is my donkey?
No, afterwards. He sold it, and then the Gentile came.
He got his money and he left. Okay. Right. So 3 days later, you know, the guy says, oh, this is my donkey.
Yeah.
What has that to do with the seller? Seller's already, you know.
Oh, so we're saying, well, if there were certain, you know, extenuating, originally Rav Papa or Rava had proposed, if the non-Jew didn't take the saddle, he only took the donkey, if the buyer also, you know, is open to the idea that the non-Jew's claims are true, so then we say to the seller, you know, it's your responsibility to prove title and to work this out and go to the non-Jew. You took money. And Amemar said, no. He said, no, even if there are circumstantial reasons to support the case of the non-Jew, a non-Jew comes and grabs a donkey, he's a thief. And that's not the responsibility of the seller.
Right.
That's an unfortunate tragedy. But now that's stuck in the hands of the buyer. So he's got the tragedy.
Is there a lesson here that you can be prosecuted for buying goods from a thief? Like it can be taken.
Well, that
away,
we saw in Bava Kama. Yeah, well, that we saw in Bava Kama, right?
Which is the case.
Yeah, but again, as we've seen, if there was Yeyosh Vishina Rishus, it was despair and then a change of domain, then not. So
okay,
it depends
on
the
scenario.
And what
about the time lapse here? I mean, 24 hours, 48 hours.
Sounds
1 year?
Like it was quickly. Yeah. Sounds like it was quick. All right.
What if I went up to the land of Israel, down to Baba? Why is that?
The point was, this is a law for everybody.
Uh-huh.
It's for everyone. Everyone should know this. Wherever you're coming and wherever you're going,
okay.
Everyone should know this. Now we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Uman ein lo chazak. A craftsman who claims that the item he has in his home is because he bought it is not believed. The fact that he had it for a while doesn't mean anything. We assume it was just put there for him to work on it. Amar Rabba Rabba said, Lo shanu lo shamas lo be'edim. This is true where the original owner gave the craftsman the object in front of witnesses. So since there are witnesses saying that this object was given to him to work on it, he's not believed to later say, oh, but afterwards I bought it. Avu mas lo shalo be'edim. But if the object was given to him to work on it without any witnesses witnessing the handover, if now the original owner comes and says, it's my object, and he says, no, it's not your object, I bought it from you. Since he could have said, it never happened, I don't have the object, I don't know who you are, and there's no proof because there's no witnesses. If he says, listen, I have the object, but not that I'm working on it, I bought it from you, he'd be believed. That is the view of Rabba. Amar le Abaye, Abaye said to Rabba, Iyachi, if you're right, that when there are no witnesses, the craftsman is believed based on Migo. Afilu beidim nami, even if the craftsman was given the object in front of witnesses, he should be believed to say that he bought it. Because mitok shiachal omer lo yichzarti v'lcha, since he could have claimed, I gave it back to you. Ki amar le, when he tells him, l'kuchi biyadi, I bought it from you, mehem, and he should be believed. Amar le Rabba, so Rabba said back to Abaye, mi savrit, do you think, hamafkid etz l'chavir be'edim, eno tzarech la'azal lo be'edim, that if somebody gives to somebody else an object in front of witnesses, the shomer, the custodian, can give it back without witnesses. Lo sal kadaitach, don't think such a thing. If somebody gave to somebody else something in front of witnesses, the custodian has to return it in front of witnesses. So your claim is wrong. What are you saying? Even if the object was given to the craftsman in front of witnesses, the craftsman could say, I bought it, and he'd be believed. Why? Because he could have said, I gave it back to you. He would have been believed had he said, I gave it back to you. So since he would have been believed with that claim, he's believed when he says, I bought it. That's not true. He's not believed to say, I gave it back to you, because we would say to him, you gave it back to him. Where were the witnesses? So I didn't give it back in front of witnesses. But then that's not a right giving back. If you got it in front of witnesses, you have to give it back in front of witnesses. So therefore, there is no migo. Meisve Abaye, Abaye challenged Rabba from the following brisa. We learned, Ra Avdo Biyad Uman, if I see my slave in the hands of a craftsman, or Taliso Biyad Koves, or I see my cloak in the hand of a laundromat where they're washing it. Omer lo mativo etzlecha, I can say to the craftsman, hey, why is my object doing, what's it doing in your home? It's mine. Amar lo, and if he says back to me, ata machartali, you sold the slave to me. Ata nasatali b'matana, or you gave the cloak to me as a gift. Lo amar klum, that's meaningless. We don't believe that at all. But if he says, b'fanei amartalo, l'mochro, v'litno lo b'matana, if he says to me, you told Yaakov, who had bought this slave from you, or bought this cloak from you, to give it to me as a gift, Tvarav Kayamin, that is accepted. So that's the Braisa. So now before we get to the question, the Gemara deals with what the Braisa actually means. Maishna Reisho, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference between the first case, where the craftsman says, I bought it from you, where he's not believed. In the second case, where the craftsman said, I heard you, I was there with you and somebody else who sold it to me. Amar Rabba, Rabba explained, Seifa biyotze mitachas yidei acher. The second case is where this third party has it. And the third party claims that it's his. In other words, the original owner saw a third party with the article that he had given to the craftsman. And he's saying to this third party, what are you doing with it? The Karmelei Acher, now this third party says to the owner, Befanai, in front of me, Amar Talo Lamochav Litna Matana. You told the craftsman to give it to me as a gift. You told the craftsman to sell it to me. So now the third party is believed, not the craftsman. He could have said, I bought it from you. And he would have been believed because he's not a craftsman. So if he's holding an object and I say, hey, that's my object, and he says, no, I bought it from you, he's believed. Because chazaka kol masha tachas yad adam shalo, whatever a person's holding, we assume it's his. Ki amar le nami b'fanai amar talo lemochro. So when he says instead, he doesn't say, Zev, you sold it to me. He says, Zev, you told the laundromat to sell it to me. Dvarav Kayamunu Mehemet. He's believed. It's reasonable. Okay, that's the Braisa. All right, Katani Mia. So what does it say, though, in this Braisa? Reishon, the first part of the Braisa. Ra'a. But if the original owner sees the item in the hands of the craftsman. In other words, there are witnesses that the craftsman has the object. So then we say that the craftsman is not believed about it. So now, hey, chidami, what's the case? Idik edim, if there were witnesses at the time of the original deposit, salam alira, according to you, Rabbah, that whenever something is deposited in front of witnesses, it can only be returned in front of witnesses. So who cares that now we have witnesses seeing the craftsman with the object? Nesi edim anishko, let's just take the witnesses of the original deposit, and that should be enough to demand the object back. Elalav deleka edim. So you see that there must be the case where there were no witnesses. V'chira miyatafisle. But when the original owner has, you know, sees the object in the hands of his craftsman, apparently he can take it back from the craftsman. So even without witnesses about the original deposit. So this seems to be against the view of Rabbah, because according to the view of Rabbah, if there were no witnesses about the original deposit, the owner is not entitled to get the object back from the craftsman. So my answer is lo, la'olam de'ika edim. We're talking about a case where there were witnesses about the original deposit. And nevertheless, the Braisa says that the craftsman only loses it when we see the object there, v'hu dera, when we see the object, But if we don't see the object, the craftsman will be believed. What would he be believed about? He's not believed to claim, "I never got it," because there were witnesses that he got it. He would be believed to say, "I returned it to you." So what? Why would he be believed to say, "I returned it to you"? Where are the witnesses that he returned it to you? Must be, you see the following, that even though if someone accepts a deposit in the presence of witnesses, he can give back the deposit without witnesses. So since he could always give back the deposit without witnesses, he's believed to say, "I already gave it back to you, because I didn't have to have witnesses for the giving back."
Right.
Because apparently that's the rule. You can accept in front of witnesses, but you just have to give it back, even without witnesses. So since it's against Rabbah,
you have to swear?
Apparently not. Va'atu da'amit, but now you, Rabbah, are the one who said that you can't do that. So you say, "Amafkid etzel chaver be'edim, tzarech l'foro be'edim." You're the one who says that if you make a deposit with someone in front of witnesses, that person is only believed to give it back in front of witnesses. He's not just believed to give it back without witnesses. This seems to be against you. So Amar Lei, so Rabbah agreed to Abaye. And Rabbah said, "Hadri bi, I take my position back. I say that when someone gets an object to watch in front of witnesses, he can return it even without witnesses. And since he can return it even without witnesses, so therefore, in a case where we see a watchman still having the original object, so then we say to him, listen, you know, you don't have room for a migu. But if we don't see the watchman with the object now, the watchman would have a migu, since he could claim, "I already returned it," and that would be a credible claim. Therefore, if he claims, "I bought it from you," that would be supported, and that would be a credible claim.
Rabbi, are videotapes in today's day and age, like, you know, I'm thinking of a dry cleaner or something small like that, you know, like, is that considered witnesses? Like, hey, he dropped it off, look, he picked it up.
I don't think so, because I think videotapes can be forged and tampered with. It's digital, right? I mean, what was yesterday's news, that the CIA can make a hack look like it came from Russia? I mean, you know, digital things can be tinkered with. I'm not so sure. You know, you have a video, a picture, people can play with this stuff.
Need to go back to
analog. So if somebody gives you something with witnesses,
it's tough to understand.
When you return it, you don't have to have the witnesses?
That's what it sounds like. That's right. Somebody,
you don't need witnesses.
Somebody made a deposit with witnesses. Apparently, the return of the object does not have to be done in front of witnesses.
So just
he does have to make an oath, though. Shuas Heses. He has to take an oath. Right, well, because we've seen earlier that there is the rabbinic oath, the Shvuas Heses. If somebody says, "You owe me something," and the other person says, "I don't owe you anything at all," so biblically he doesn't need to swear, but rabbinically he needs to swear with a Shvuas Heses. That's true.
But the craftsman's going to have like witnesses on staff, you know, like on payroll when he returns.
That's right.
But if they are on their payroll, they cannot be a witness.
Right. Yes, that's what we saw at the beginning of today's daf. If you have someone who's biased, he cannot serve as a witness. Thank you. Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Zakos Yisrael.